Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cup. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond.
Yeah, this is Cassidy the Hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mo. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cuff, baby.
Dollars, the queen of trap representing Crenshaw. And you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible. Giving a shout out to the Love Talk Radio family. Y'all know what time it is. Giving a shout out to the
Live Show
on Friday night, Off the Cuff Radio. And I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
What it is, what it ain't, what it do. Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. And Off the Cuff Radio is always where it's at on Friday nights. West West, y'all.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond.
What's up with it, y'all? Man, don't change that sound. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that down. Wiggly.
Yeah, this is Cassidy the Hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mo. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cuff Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cuff, baby.
What's up, everybody? This your girl Bonnie Dollars, the queen of trap representing Crenshaw. And you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible. Giving a shout out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio. And I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
What it ain't, what it do. It's Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio, always where it's at on Friday nights. West West, y'all.
All right, had to do a little sound check, man, to make sure everything was going good. What it is, this is your boy King Eric, the Media Assassin. We are tuning in to episode 504 of Off the Cuff Radio. Got my host T-Max with the facts and Pittsburgh Pat in the building. What's good, y'all?
Man, what's going on? Man, what's going on, man?
What's going on?
Yeah. Pat, what's going on, man? For all of listeners out there, shout out to our co-host and Fred as well, the live family, Lake Chinchilla. This is a beautiful 4th of July weekend. We are off the cuff, Pittsburgh Pat, King Eric, and myself. And we are so blessed and so happy to have y'all with us tonight. And for my bros, yo, man, we got a really special show tonight. We got a legend, one of the people that inspired us to do what we do.
Yeah, man. This is my favorite guest I ever interviewed. Ben said that since I interviewed him. And I genuinely feel that any podcast, any show, radio, TV show, like, is the direct result of what this guy started. I think that, I mean, I don't know what the first ever show in the world was or anything like that, but all I'm saying is him and his partner gave personality. You wanted to see them. You know, like, you didn't tune in just to watch videos and see interviews with guests. Like, they had their own swagger. They had their own personalities. Like, you had a relationship with them, the hosts, and you cared about them as well. So, like, when you would see them on other things, even, you were happy to see them. And they gave, I think they gave life to everybody, whether that people have different styles or not. You know, people like Star and Buck Wild, and I mean, even all the way to Charlamagne and, you know, Vlad TV, all that stuff. I feel that the show that they were on laid down what you expected from a hip hop show, and I think that everybody that sits behind a microphone or, you know, on the radio or anything, I think they all owe a bit of gratitude to them guys. You know what I mean? Because I don't feel that whether you credit them as your influence or not, you are influenced by them, because you are influenced by somebody that was influenced by somebody that was influenced by them. And that's just a fact. Like, there's, you know, I always credited this guy because I truly believe everything I just said. You know what I mean? Is he on the line yet, or?
Nah, not yet. I was just running the sound check.
Okay, we're still early. If he does not call, I'll take partial blame on it, because his assistant, I was working with her to make this happen, and she had hit my phone. Well, the day after she hit my phone, my niece dropped my phone in a bowl of cereal, and it fried my phone. So I had to get a new phone, and for some reason, it only gave me some of my contacts back. And, like, I didn't even have the off-the-cuff contact in there anymore. So, like, I lost all my numbers. I hit his DM, but I don't really know how much he really checks that and everything, you know what I mean? But, you know, they know the date was today and everything, you know what I mean? But I just talked to her like 5 days ago. Yeah, so they are usually very professional and stuff, so let's hope they call. If not, you know, like, we'll shut it down, and we will make it happen for sure, you know what I mean? Because, like, Dre's a very good guy, and he wouldn't just blow us off with, you know what I mean? And we got to keep in mind that, you know, health is also a concern too. You know what I mean? So,
understood.
We will get this in the books if it doesn't happen tonight. And, but let's be optimistic though. I believe, you know what I mean? I got my wires off like a week early for this interview. So, I can finally talk, move my jog in and shit, man. I can't do too much. Like, yeah, I have to do this, like, trick that, I can't yawn. Like, if I yawn, man, like, my shit could pop out of prayer. It could even break my jaw if I yawn. So I don't know if you guys ever knew this, but if you're ever going to yawn and you don't want to, you know how to stop it? You just touch your tongue with your finger, and it'll stop you from yawning. So, like, in the mornings, in the mornings and shit, when I feel that shit coming on, I, like, have my finger ready to touch my tongue and shit, and it really helps, man, because I can't risk, like, my jaw, like, locking, you know what I mean? Like, I can't have, like, that hinge, like, you know what I mean? Like, where your jaw, like, snaps open, like, you know what I mean? I can't have that happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, but I feel good, though, man. I'm walking around outside and stuff, man, and I can't eat, like, solid foods yet, but I can, like, eat, like, semi-solid food and shit, you know what I mean? I just can't, like, take, like, bites and shit. It sucks, man. I want some pizza so fucking bad, man. But I'm doing good, though, man. Yeah, my shit looking a little fucked up, but I think I'll be all right. You know what I mean? But how you guys doing, man? I didn't mean to bring y'all down, man.
No, we good. No, we good, Pat. It's great to have
fucked
you
up
back
shit.
With us. No, you good,
yeah,
Pat.
Man.
It's great to have you with us, man. We're blessed, and we're glad you're blessed. Wanted to ask y'all before Dre comes on. Okay, because we got to get right into it with some of the week's events. Okay, y'all heard. Irv Gotti sold 50% of his share that he sold with Universal to, you know, which was he sold 50% of his 50% of his share of his music catalog with Murder, Inc. For $300 million. Well, actually, it's actually $100 million, and he got a $200 million line of credit in terms of development stuff. So what did y'all think of that move?
Great move. Great move. Mm-hmm. I was an intelligent dude. You know, people would say, own your masters. Like, well, the point of owning your masters is to make money off your masters. So, Irv understands that he's still young enough to make moves. He's still relevant enough to be in the circles. You know how much money a guy like Irv, like, you know how many moves a guy like Irv can make with $300 million? Like, that money, he knows that he can triple that money. You know what I mean? How much do you want for his masters? You know what I mean? Like how much do you think he's gonna make off his masters? You know what I mean? And he's also in a position to where, like, doesn't he still have partial ownership of some? Doesn't he?
No,
I think so. No, he sold them. Okay.
So he gave up his 50% share of the masters, because Universal has the other 50, so
okay,
he gave it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, I mean, look, like, Irv's involved in TV, and, if Irv Gotti told you that he had a new artist that was fire, wouldn't you guys give it a listen? Yeah, you know, like, say he said he had a new New York dude that was lyrical as hell and dope as hell and shit. You got a mixtape coming out next week. Like, wouldn't you guys give that shit a listen? I think I would, you know? I think that, like, the bottom line, man, $300 million is generational wealth for a long time. For a life. Irv's great-great-great-grandkids are set. You know what I mean? So, like, dude, he did good, man. He did the right thing, dude. Some A&Rs and all that shit and record execs, man, they're not getting that much for their shit. You know what I'm saying? So, like, man, I'm all for it. Like, congratulations to him, and he got $300 million, man. Like, that's the point of owning your shit, is to make money, right? So, like, how long would it take? Say he didn't do that deal. Like, you know how long it would take him to make $300 million off those? You know? I don't think he ever would. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, nowadays, like, I don't know how much money he made back in the day. You know what I mean? But I'm saying, like, right now, dude, like, do you really think those masters, like, do you think he's going to make $300 million off of owning 50%, like, over the next 20 years? Like, I don't. I don't think that him owning that, he would have made that much money. So selling them was the move. That's the move. That's the beauty of owning masters.
I'm curious.
That you can make that move. Like, Lil Wayne did the same thing. He sold his masters for a bunch of money. And it's like, that's kind of the point. Like, you want to own your shit for what reason? To make money to continue to eat, you know?
I'm looking at it from another angle, too, man. I'm also looking at it like, along with that catalog, it's tied in with Ja Rule and Ashanti and a lot of the producers that worked on there. So my question would be, like, how are they going to be compensated as well with this deal? Because Ashanti, she been having her issues with Irv Gotti for years, and that's because it got to the point where she was re-recording her hits. So I'm curious to see where this is going to go from here. Like, is she going to be compensated as well? Because she been back and forth with her for years about her catalog and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And the thing is that when you're looking at it, because this is something, because he talked about the situation with how it came to that, because he said he had a talk with one of his billionaire friends, and he said, you can't sell nothing if you don't own anything. And he's like, that resonated, and that's true, because at the end of the day, you know, you're looking at it. Shout out to Deteron Gall. We had on the producer, Neil Champagne, like we had him on a couple weeks ago. We had the same conversation about artists in terms of how ownership is in music. And it is something special if you are able to get into a place where financially you can sell it. I mean, if some people say, well, you know, you started it, you know, why not keep it? But sometimes you just like the idea of, people don't understand, running a business is a lot. And sometimes you're okay with the fact that you made your mark with it, and ultimately, you know, you want to take the money and start something else. Years ago,
Irv Gotti's prime was 20-something years ago. The fact is somebody offered him $300 million for 50% of his prime years, that was over 20 years ago, man, like, come on, man, who wouldn't take that deal? Like, because 20 more years from now, who knows what things are going to look like? People are like, oh, well, maybe 20 years from now, he could get $1 billion for that. So the fuck what, dude? He's still young enough to be involved in things and make more moves and all that. But even if he don't want to, he just got fuck you money, and he's good forever. Like, how many people from that time period, like, or how many people from that time period is their shit even worth that much money? You know?
That's like, true. You figure Iconoclast is the company that he sold it to, and they gave him a $200 million line of credit to develop, you know, TV shows, movies, what have you, and of course $100 million for the music itself. But one thing we got to say, no, he isn't. And I mean, we all lived through that time with the whole 50 Cent murdering beef, you know, G-Unit, those guys. But, you know, we got to be real journalists and being impartial and just being children of the culture. We can't front on it. Murdering
I think that
they had a great run.
Well, look, while I feel that 50 Cent and Eminem and all them, they won that battle, and maybe it affected Joe Rogan's popularity to an extent, but I am not among that. I think that we remember things incorrectly. I do not feel that ended Murder, Inc. at all, because during the beat and after
investigation,
during and after, go ahead back and look, Ja Rule still had hits. His shit was still going gold and shit. Like, New York was big. Clap Back was big. Like, he was still making records that were selling. But then the Fed shit came, and they couldn't release music. So, like, once you can't release music and you're on the downslide of that, fighting the biggest fucking artist in the fucking world, like, yeah, you're not going to bounce back from that. But Ja Rule kind of even had, like, a mediocre hit with Lil Wayne in, like, 07, 08. I was in prison. I remember seeing, I think it was called Uh-Oh or some shit. And that was in, like, 08 or some shit, 07, 08. And like, shit got a lot of play. I don't know how well it performed, but shit got a lot of play. I know that because all I had was radio and TV and shit. And I saw that video and shit mad times. But, like, that Ja Rule still made records that people like to hear during and after, like, the time of that beat, you know?
See, I think what happened was, 50, he was smart enough to utilize that part of the laws of the power. Where, you know, Law 7 says, get others to do the work for you, but always take the credit.
Yeah.
That's why people, when they look at it, they look at it like, man, 50 ended Murder, Inc. And keep in mind, he was hot at that time. He was so hot at that time, and he had the white fan base with Eminem, that he had Dr. Dre with the West Coast.
Yeah.
And you had the Interscope machine behind you. Of course, it's going to look like they crushed him.
I'm going to take a different angle, that what ultimately killed 50 Cent was the beef with Ja Rule. And here's why I say that.
Mm-hmm.
He got cocky. He got cocky. Nobody, like, people might have bumped Ja Rule and all that. Nobody loved Ja Rule. You know? Nobody, you might have bought his album and everything and liked him and all that. You didn't love Ja Rule. But he got cocky. Started beefing with Jada, Nas, Fat Joe, Cameron.
Yeah.
And then even Kanye years later, like, bro, he started beefing with people that people love. Like, bro, you can't go up against Jadakiss, bro. Like, people love Jadakiss. Jadakiss and Beanie Siegel are the only two people that ever beefed that nobody took sides. And everybody loved them the same. Nobody, you know what I mean? You were buying both of them. Nobody, you know, no matter how much you love Jada, you still rock with Beans anyway. But, like, bro, he went up, he started going up against people, and then Eminem didn't diss those people back. Because if you remember, even in the height of all that shit, Eminem was on the Lean Back remix with Mace. Right before Mace signed with G-Unit. He was on the Lean Back remix while that beef was going on. He was on Jadakiss's album. You know? He was on Jadakiss's album. You know? Like, fucking, like, he didn't diss Nas. You know, he didn't ride with Nas or nothing, but, bro, he started beefing with all these people, like the Dipset and shit, like, bro, what are you doing? Like, and then, like, with Losing Game and the Game, like, people loved the Game for a long time, like, and he was dissing people and shit and making good records and shit, and, like, the Game wasn't really doing anything corny yet, so people didn't have nothing bad to say about the Game yet, you know what I mean? So, like, beating Ja Rule so one-sidedly, it got to 50's head, I think, you know? And, like, the Massacre came, and people still rocked with the Massacre and shit, but by the time the third album comes, now he has all them diss records by D-Block and Terror Squad and all that shit, and now he's beefing with fucking Cam and Dipset. Man, people love Cam and Dipset, bro. Like, they love them motherfuckers. And then now he's going head-to-head with Kanye West. Kanye West was still the good guy back then. He was the lovable college kid. You know what I mean? Like, he was still that at that time. He was, you know, oh, he loves his mom. And, like, you know, he's a good guy. Finally, there's a good guy in rap. We love him, you know?
Right, right.
And
he started going Young Buck.
Yeah, and, like, and if you look, man, like, after that third album, that Curtis album, what did 50 do after that? He tried to bring back the G-Unit shit. It just didn't really work the same. And, you know, like, what was his album after Curtis?
Before I Self-Destruct.
Yeah, and, like,
yeah.
Right, like, all of us sat there for a second and had to think of that. You know what I mean? Like, and that album wasn't that great, and it was just, like, ever since then, man, like, what was the one after that? Do you know that?
Animal Ambition.
Yeah, you know, you guys also got to take consideration, too. He started stomping on those toes as well when he started talking about he was Mr. Interscope. I run Interscope. And you know Jimmy Iovine and all them ain't going to take that lightly.
Jimmy
yeah.
and Dre are
no.
like, wait a minute, what?
No, and I love
yeah.
50. Don't get me wrong. I love 50 Cent. For real. I'm not saying nothing bad about him at all. But, yeah, he did kind of fall off, though, you know. And like, even, like, I was all about 50, you know, because, like, the Young Buck signing back then was awesome. But, like, you know our boy Walter, Eric, Walter Lowry, he's from Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And he'll tell you that, like, by the time 50 signed with Eminem and shit, 50 Cent was, like, super well-known in Pittsburgh because when they yanked his shit off the shelves, the Power of the Dollar, bro, like, the G-Unit team was heavy all around Pennsylvania and Virginia, I guess, like, Washington, D.C. and Maryland and shit. But in Pittsburgh, man, like, Power of the Dollar, like, you could go to any store, and it had posters up and everything. It was just a street album. And then, like, we got, like, the G-Unit mixtape, like the 50 Cent is the Future or whatever, we got that. We knew 50 Cent very well. So, like, when he signed with Eminem, like, people that listened to rap music in Pittsburgh knew him very, very well. You know what I mean? So, like, when he blew the fuck up,
yeah.
I mean, we never thought that he was going to do that, you know? But, like, we knew him, like, very. And plus, he had, like, a song with, like, Nas and the Bravehearts. Mobb Deep might have even been on it. It was called, like, Who I Rep With or something. And he did the hook to it. And, like, that was a pretty, like, big song for, like, people that listen to, like, street shit. You know what I mean? And then, like, he had a joint with Nori. And, like, yeah, in Pittsburgh, like, Queens shit's pretty popular in Pittsburgh. We fuck with Queens pretty heavy. You know what I mean? Like, Mobb Deep and, like, Capone and Nori were, like, constantly played in Pittsburgh. So when he, you know, like, 50 Cent was a very well-known dude to us. So when he blew the fuck up, it's like, damn. And, like, I have a lot of, like, when I put on Power of the Dollar, bro, like, the memories it brings back and, like, the time period and shit, like, it reminds me of winter time so much, man, because I used to, like, skip school and shit. It'd be cold as fuck out, but I'd listen to that album all the time, man. Like, that's my favorite 50 Cent album. Like, I know, like, the other ones are probably better as far as, like, lyrically, and there's more of, like, concepts and shit, better production and all that, but it's just my favorite album just because, like, it holds, like, you know, I just have, like, attached so many memories to that album, you know what I mean? But I love 50 Cent. I think he's one of the people that got so big that I think it's impossible for him to completely fall off, you know what I mean? I think that he can always put out music and people will check it out, but he's one of those guys that, he's like Shaq. He was a fucking dominant force, fell off for a few years, but he could still show up on any fucking camera and you're happy to see him. You always want to hear what he says. He's funny. You know what I mean? I think the Shaq comparison really fits him. Won a couple championships. He might not be the best in the world, but he was fucking dominant for a while. And in his prime, no one was fucking with that dude. You know what I mean? And no matter what, we still love you, bro, and we always want to see you. You know what I mean? So I think that he'll always have a place in the culture somewhere. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Without question.
You know, he made so much of a big impact in such little time. That's why he always going to have a place there, because he made a huge impact. Come in off the gate, selling 10 million records. People don't understand how big that movement was.
Yeah, and then, like, does he hold the record for the first week's sales?
I think he does.
I think.
With the Massacre. Because, like, the beginning
the
of that.
Eminem holds the record. Eminem holds the record because he did 1.2. He holds the first week sales record. I think Eminem did, like, 1.2, 1.3 the first week when the Marshall Mathers LP dropped.
But
50 for what he did, that movement was, because I have, it's funny because this is like when the buzz for 50 in 2003 was really beginning to cook after he dropped 50 Cent as the Future, and I actually had that mixtape from the first run of
it.
I gotta pat myself on the back because it's to find the original first run of it is kind of hard. Hell, even finding thing
definitely.
On physical is hard. I was at the mall one day, so somebody was telling me about Power of the Dollar. Did they had it? And I knew about it, but I didn't know if it had actually, you know, I knew it had been shelved. Now, for our listeners out there, this is going back to the early 2000s. This is before YouTube, you know, Napster got shut down. So, you know, bootlegging was still out there, but you really had to know where to go to get it. And dude said, you know, you want it? I'm like, yeah, I'll take it. And I got it. And I mean, I got to Guess Who's Back.
I love that.
50,
too.
God, I mean, 50 for what he did.
Guess
at that
Who's
time,
Back was hard.
It was.
Yeah.
It was. And even taking it further, even in the years that were waning, people forget about that G-Unit second album, Terminate on Sight. That shit was hard.
Remember Return of the Body Snatchers, like the EP or whatever they had?
Yeah.
That shit was pretty dope,
Fat
too.
Fat Joe on the cover at the beach.
Gunfire.
But they had a Fat Joe.
No, that was
gunfire.
No, that's Elephant in the Sands. That's what that is. That's a G-Unit mixtape. Nah, this is like an EP. It's like eight or nine songs or something. It's called Return of the Body Snatchers. Mm-hmm. And that shit's dope. But that Elephant in the Sand shit was hard too, though. But yeah, bro, I could show you guys my phone right now, bro. I have most of the G Unit mixtapes in my phone. I even got the Mace one. But I got like all the mob shit.
That Crucified
fucking
in the Hood.
Yeah, bro, I got, for real, man, I got pretty much everything that's available anywhere on the internet. I got from G Unit, bro. Like, I got a playlist here. Hold on, let me see it. Playlist G Unit. I got like 3,600 G Unit songs.
Oh wow.
Yeah, bro. I mean, there's an app that it's called the Mix Hub, and it has like nothing but mixtapes, and it's completely mm-hmm. free. It's kind of fucked up right now because when you download something, it downloads five of every song for some reason. Like, it's fucked up. I emailed them to tell them to fix that shit, but fucking bro, they got so many like Mobb Deep joints, like all the Mobb Deep G Unit stuff, like the Spider Loke shit. They even got like Hot Rod, Kid, Uncle Murder. They got all the G Unit shit. You know what I mean? Like, I fuck with Uncle Murder, man. Like, he's a Rockefeller G-Unit dude. You know what I mean? Like, how could I not fuck with him? Just like Freeway is a Rockefeller G-Unit dude. Fucking, wasn't there someone else? Was there someone else with a Rockefeller and G-Unit? Nah, maybe it was just them.
Yeah,
I think maybe it was
Beans. Beans was leaning towards that.
Yeah, he never officially signed, but yeah, it's crazy to like think about shit like that though, man. Like all the people that like, they're like, look at Jadakiss, man. Like Jadakiss is a Rough Rider, Bad Boy, Rockefeller dude. You know what I mean? Then you got like there's okay. Look at like MOP. Oh, MOP was Rockefeller G Unit. They just never dropped an album on Rockefeller, but they were Rockefeller. You know what I mean? But there's a few dudes that, like, jump labels and shit, and people forget Little Scrappy was G-Unit. He had that G-Unit album, that Born to Live, Bred to Die shit.
Man, look, I remember that back in the day. Y'all remember back in the day when XXL had that G-Unit cover with all of them up there? Yayo, Spider Loke, yeah.
What, the fold-out cover?
Yeah.
Is that what you were about to say? Yeah.
Like
Yeah, Olivia, Mobb Deep, Mace, M.O.P. Yep. I saw the Massacre tour. Like, we had known, like, we had heard on the radio the day before the concert that Mobb Deep and M.O.P. signed a G-Unit. And we were going to the Massacre concert the next day. And it was Sierra opened the show. And then it was Field Mob and Play a Circle and Ludacris, like DTP. And then Little Scrappy, Little John and the East Side Boys. And Mike Jones was supposed to be there, but he didn't play our show. Like, he didn't make it. And then, like, G-Unit came out. They all did, like, their hits and shit. And he brought Mobb Deep and M.O.P. out. And he was like, oh, yeah, we signed somebody the other day, too. We didn't even tell nobody yet. I was like, what? Brought out fucking Mace, dude. We're like, what the fuck? Like, bro, the whole place just said it was like an outdoor venue. So we were like, what the fuck? And like, everybody thought it was, everybody thought that he signed Slim Thug because there was Slim Thug promotional vans there. But he was just sending the promos. It was a huge fucking, you know, it was like this place called the Post Cadet Pavilion. It's like this huge amphitheater, like, you know, like everybody that's like a star plays there. Like, it's an outdoor venue. It can hold fucking 500,000 people if it had to. You know what I mean? So, like, if the Backstreet Boys came to town, they'd play there. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's a huge venue. And, like, I remember Missy Elliott had her van there and shit. You know what I mean? Like, people, like, rappers would just send their promo teams there, hand out stickers and advertisements and shit for their next album. You know what I mean? But, like, people started saying Slim Thug and shit. Everybody thought he signed Slim Thug. and he brought out Mace. We're like, no one saw that shit coming. No one saw Mobb Deep happening, because if you remember Piggy Bank, he kind of threw a shot at Mobb Deep. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I'll do your little ass like Jake did Mobb Deep. You know what I mean? Like, so who thought that they would be on G-Unit, man? Like, no one thought that shit. No one saw that shit coming. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, people thought. Right. And see, come to find out, the reason why he did that was because I think Havoc was in the Ja Rule joint. He was in the Ja Rule video, the New York, New York.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so he looked at it like anybody that side with Rule gonna get a stray.
Yeah, that makes sense. That he'd be in that video even too, because like, a lot of people don't even understand, like, how close, like, the Locks is with Havoc. Like, you know, like, Last Day by Biggie and the Locks. Can I live to my last day? That shit, produced by Havoc. Jada Kiss Y, produced by Havoc. And, like, Havoc and Styles P just did that album together. And, like, I remember, like, watching their videos, and people were like, you know, like, man, nobody really understands, like, how close we really are. Like, to us, it's so crazy that we didn't have an album entirely produced by Havoc, or, like, a Locks Mobb Deep album years and years ago. Like, they were that cool. But then Havoc said, like, yeah, the G-Unit signing kind of, you know, fucked everything up. And he got into talking, like, the reason why he signed a G-Unit was because, like, he wasn't talking down about Prodigy or nothing. But Prodigy was getting them in all these beefs. And then, the biggest thing that Prodigy did that fucked everything up is, bro, he didn't release nothing with Ether. When Nas came with Ether, everybody sat there and waited around for Jay's response to Ether. Man, could you imagine if Prodigy would have came with a crazy diss after Ether? It would have saved them. But instead, Jay watched them on the SummerSlam screen, and then it just became Nas versus Jay, when it could have been Nas and Prodigy. But guess what? Prodigy started beefing with Nas then. So, like, you know what I mean? So, like, them beefs just, it killed Havoc, bro. Because for a while there, everybody just looked at Mobb Deep as Prodigy. And, like, Havoc, if you go back and look, yeah, they dropped Mobb Deep albums. But, bro, Havoc was just producing and shit for the most part, because he couldn't do nothing, you know? Because Prodigy just kept getting in problems and getting in beefs and shit. And he went to prison and all that shit. You know what I mean? Like, shit just didn't pan out right.
Yeah, that was a weird time during that time when they was kind of having their issues with each other, you know, especially when Havoc did that Real from the Sake video. You know, but it's,
yeah,
I mean, that was wild. It's just sad, though. Yeah, I mean, you know, but it was sad that they didn't get to do that album with Alchemist, because they did the infamous Mobb Deep album, which, for those who didn't hear it, is an absolute banger. But I know the rumor was that ultimately the last record they were going to do was going to have Alchemist do the entire production. I'm like, a Mobb Deep album with all Alchemists. Yes, the world needed to hear that.
Yeah, that would have been cool. I mean, but, I mean, if you think about it, though, like, we got, like, the Return of the Mac by Prodigy and Alchemist. We got Silent Partner by Havoc and Alchemist. But, you know, we got a lot of Prodigy and, or a lot of Mobb Deep Alchemist shit. But you're right, it would have been dope to hear a full thing. But, I mean, if you even think back to what happened with that, like, with the Alchemist, if you remember the shit with Green Lantern, remember Green Lantern was the official Eminem DJ, and he got caught saying that shit on recording or whatever about Jadakiss or whatever, like, playing both sides of the fence or whatever. I don't really remember what that was about, but he essentially got fired from being Eminem's DJ, and Eminem hired the Alchemist. I'm surprised that during the G-Unit days, like, I'm surprised we didn't get, like, an Alchemist G-Unit project or Alchemist Mobb Deep project. You know what I mean? Like, I would have loved to hear 50 and Prodigy with just Havoc beats even. like not to leave Havoc out because I love Havoc as a rapper too, but like just to hear mm-hmm. 50 and Prodigy, I think 50 and Prodigy made awesome songs together. They made great records together, like Creep, Pearly Gates, you know what I mean? Like I don't know, Officer, the Out of Control remix, like all them joints like were great, you know what I mean? And like, and then Prodigy even did a song with The Game when The Game. Like before Mobb Deep was on G-Unit and The Game was on G-Unit, they did that song on Alchemist's album together, that Dead Body song. And he did that TikTok yep. song with Nas on that joint, and then the joint was Illa G and all that. You know what I mean? But, man, I don't know, man. It's getting a little late, yeah. gentlemen. I don't know about this one, man.
What was that?
I'm like so fucking paranoid now, bro.
It's all good.
I hear
it's
like
all
a
good.
Door.
Look,
I hear like a door close outside, man. I get like,
what the fuck?
I get all jumpy now and shit. But yeah, look, man. Like one thing I want to keep in mind though is you know, Dre does have like some health problems and stuff. You know what I mean? And I want to keep that in mind. I don't want to. I hope that's not the case or anything, you know what I mean? But yeah, I know his assistant, she's a very, very professional, and like I said, like with my phone breaking, I only got certain phone numbers back. I was hoping she would text me, but they reached out to me about this. I didn't even reach out to him, you know what I mean? So I can't imagine them, it might be a case where they forgot, like, or something, or, you know what I mean? I'm sure that there's a reasonable explanation that they didn't call, you know what I mean? And I know that they will definitely make it up to me if they can, you know what I mean? But I will get to the bottom of it, guys. We will knock this one down.
Not a problem,
we will get this one in, man. Trust me, we will.
Absolutely.
I apologize. We still got a little bit of conversation in, so that's always nice. You know what I mean? But I'll do my best to reach out to them. Like I said, I DM'd Dre, but since he DM'd me, I DM'd him once back, and he told me to like, ask for my number for his assistant. And that was like the last time he ever even like looked at messages. And it, you know what I mean? Never even looked at a message again. So I don't really know how much his Instagram and stuff, like, he really paid attention to, you know what I mean? But I'm sure that they will eventually see the messages and be like, oh, shit, you know what I mean? Like, I'm very confident that I will hear from him this weekend, and we will definitely make this happen because he's a great interview and very, very great guest. So I'll make it clear to him there's no hard feelings or anything. I just, you know, I hope he's okay. Like, for real, that's my first thought. But I'm going to go ahead and sign off, though, guys. But I apologize. But I will
get in touch with him. No apology necessary, Pat. No problem.
Yeah, but we'll get in touch with him, and we'll definitely get this one for sure.
Okay.
But I'm gonna go ahead and sign off, though, guys. Y'all take care. Eric, I will talk to you tomorrow night. But, yeah, y'all take care. I apologize for wasting time, but... like I said, I'm confident we will get this one in very soon.
No problem, Pat. Love you so
for
much,
sure.
man. Thank you again. You know, it's not a problem, man. It's not a problem at all.
I love y'all, man. I'll talk
for
to y'all
sure.
soon.
Okay.
For sure, man. We're gonna definitely knock this out, and we'll be back next week. We're going to have some things lined up. We're going to have a whole bunch of fun things happening. This is my birthday month, so tune in. Same time, same channel. And we out.
Peace.